Guys, my system is I always give a pre-channeling little chat for a few minutes, sharing something. And then I go into the channeling and Nixie records it in two parts. It's easier for her to have it sent and uploaded onto the website this way. So I'm just informing you, it's always going to be in two parts. And from now on, there will be no transcript on my website. There will be a recording of the full meeting. Two things that have come up recently in one-on-one sessions, which I would like to share because I think they're both beautiful. In one case, a lady's husband had passed away maybe a year earlier, and the gentleman was pretty much an alcoholic. And he came through, and he explained something I've never heard of. He said there are the equivalent of what he called energy bars in the spirit world. B-A-R as in a bar.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously not with alcohol, with frequencies. So he said, any of us who have passed over with addictions, they don't vanish. You still have that craving in your energy body. And sometimes it takes you a while to work on it because you can't obviously drink, but you want to. So he said, we go to places like an energy bar where we are given frequencies of energy that help us substitute the craving for alcohol or whatever addiction we have on earth. So it's literally like going to a bar, and obviously you're not doing this, but you're opening to a frequency that helps you substitute and eventually overcome that addiction. I found this fascinating. I've never heard of this. I've never read about it. So I sat in meditation later to say, is this only for alcohol? And they said, absolutely not. It's for any form of addiction. And there are different frequencies, just like on an earthly bar, you have different alcohols. So in the same way, one person can have a nicotine addiction, drug addiction. You can be addicted to food. You can be addicted to love. You can be addicted to gossip. Don't go linear here. There are so many addictions we have. So these are places which help us when we pass over. Something interesting. Here's the second one. A lovely lady who's sitting in this room today also lost her husband, who she loved dearly many, many years ago. And she was told that when you pass over, when the time is right, the first thing that will happen, and that does happen quite frequently, as long as you have a very deep connection with someone who's passed over, the first thing that will happen for you is the equivalent of a second honeymoon. So what happens is, assuming the loved one has passed over several years before you and you have a deep connection, that is the criteria. It's got to be a deep connection. When you pass over, before you are even put into the healing sleep, the loved one will greet you. Remember, you are in energy form now. So you can take on the sexiest, youngest form you want, and your loved one will be doing the same. So you'll probably both look like you're 19 years old. And you will thought create around you an energy space that is something that moves you emotionally. Could be a desert island, could be a mountain top, could be anything. And you will honeymoon. You will reconnect with love. Now, obviously, love there is not physical sex, but it is the flow of love which is far deeper than sex. And after that union has taken place, then you are put into the healing sleep and the processes begin. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to look forward to. Now, again, after the session was over, I sat in meditation to say, does this only apply to couples? And they said, not at all. We are using the term honeymoon because the lady was a couple with her husband. But it could be your best friend who's passed over, or someone you're deeply, deeply connected with. It could be a guru who you love dearly on earth. The same union will take place, and the exchange of energies and the friendship and the love. And it brings you into calmness and balance, and oneness, even before you start the whole healing and the release process. So maybe this is why we should all really work at loving someone very dearly on earth, so that we can look forward to this when we cross over. Lovely, isn't it? Second honeymoon. Of course, now if you love 10 people, you're going to have a big group. Maybe you'll have an orgy, or maybe you'll have... Yes, absolutely. Or you'll have one by one honeymoons. Why not?
Why
not?
Compartments.
I knew you were thinking that. Anything anyone would like to share or say? Otherwise, we will start.
It's something about the energies you're going to talk about.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. This is really important. It has come in, I think, a couple of one-on-one sessions, but I don't think anyone here, maybe you've had it, I'm not sure, about energetic lineage karma. I was going to talk about that. You've had it, right? This is something, again, the master said you won't get on the net or in spiritual books. It's something new that we're being introduced to. Sorry. For the few who know about it, I'm going to repeat it. Excuse me. We've all done work on family karma, which is very relevant. Of course, aspects of our ancestors do affect us, and yes, we have to work on it. But there is another completely different stream of karma that we are not aware of, which is called energetic lineage karma. Think about this practically. Every time you incarnate on earth, you don't always incarnate in the family you're incarnated into today. You may have been a Russian, a Greek, a French person in different timelines, which has nothing to do with your current family. And those experiences also affect you. And the masters gave a fabulous example to help us understand this, which was actually a reference to a very old meeting I held many years ago, which I'd forgotten. It is a controversial example, so I'm saying that outright. They talked about the Gandhi family. And what I'm sharing, energetic lineage karma, refers to Mrs. Indira Gandhi, not her husband, her two sons, her foreign daughter-in-law, Sonia, not her Indian daughter-in-law, and her grandkids. Okay? Mrs. Gandhi, two sons, foreign daughter-in-law, and grandchildren. This group has repeatedly incarnated, apparently, in positions of tremendous power, families of great power. And two examples the masters gave is, they were part of the Tsarist regime of Russia and the Borgias of ancient Italy, who were the popes. Okay? So every time they've incarnated, they've come into huge power, where they have to wield power over large groups of people. Sometimes political power, sometimes religious power, sometimes commercial and financial power. Okay? And their personal quest is to learn to exercise this level of power in a balanced and beneficial manner to all. That is their quest. Now, they have built into their own energy structure what I am going to call a fail-safe device, a safety net, saying, if we go too far off track, we will allow ourselves to be violently destroyed. Not just die, violently destroyed. Again, why violence? Violence shakes up your energy structure, so you have a block. you've gone off track. A violent, explosive ending helps you come back on track. It shatters that lock. So now look at what they said. The Tsars were all massacred. The Borgias invariably either stabbed each other to death or poisoned each other. Everybody was poisoning everybody else. We know what's happened to the Gandhi family. Mrs. Gandhi murdered. One son in a plane crash, the other son bomb. Yeah. All violent ends. So you see, for them, if they were to go to a therapist or a spiritualist, studying family karma is not that important. They would need to study this energetic lineage karma to understand this aspect about themselves. So frankly, we all have energetic lineage karma, which we probably don't know. And it's worth looking into that now. So some of that is now starting to come up in my personal sessions. Not for everyone, but for those who need to look at it. So I found this very fascinating because I've honestly never heard of this before. It's not out there. But so interesting about the Gandhi family.
Are you recording this?
I am.
Yes.
Yes. But this is a wee bit controversial because basically I'm saying they went off track.
That's so, okay.
So let us be a little responsible with this recording. Any questions on anything?
How do you know that there would be an energetic lineage?
Karma.
Karma versus the family karma.
It's not either or. Actually, we all have both.
Yeah, but when somebody comes to you, like, how do you know? What are the symptoms? In your case, you're very intuitive.
So I honestly don't know because this comes when I'm channeling.
But
so,
for us, like, how do we check whether it's a family thing or whether it's a karma?
Maybe that's why you're here today, Kamalrup, to check this now for yourself intuitively and say, okay, what's the family lineage karma? You know, sometimes it's, at least the example I've given you is a very dramatic one. And the masters deliberately gave that to illustrate the point.
Also, it's close to us.
I'm sorry?
It's close to us.
Yes, and it's close to us. And it's very recognizable. So, energetic lineage... Sorry, leave that light on, please. Because it gets very dark otherwise. Energetic lineage karma sometimes is very obvious. For example, victimhood. Which is a very common thing with many clans, right? But it's not just that. It could be victimhood with an additional thing. I'm finding that happening now with sessions. So some of the energetic lineage karma is what the client already knows and has been worked on, but some is another facet of it.
Mental illness like schizophrenia, that goes into families, you know? And surprising that, you know, I can see in our family, now that we were talking about it, completely unrelated, but yet there's a link with these people who have had schizophrenia.
So Nargis is saying schizophrenia could be one of these issues, and it certainly could. But here again, you'd have to check, is it in this family line that you have schizophrenia? If you don't hear, it could be from... Okay, let me try and give you an example. Again, one client, all nameless, of course. Finds herself repeatedly the victim of everybody imposing on her, trying to steal her money, abusing her, stuff like that, okay? So her energetic lineage karma was actually entirely misuse of finance. That's not in her family line. But it came from her misusing finances repeatedly, sometimes being a complete miser, and sometimes being a complete spendthrift, being completely arrogant and just throwing it around, coupled with, now this is the interesting combination, so misuse of finance coupled with obsessive caretaking, which means controlling your child's every move. Out of love, I love him so much, I love her so much, I'm going to run her whole life. So now, put the two together. So in this lifetime, she's going through people abusing her with finance and everyone trying to control her. Now this is family, energetic lineage, karma, nothing to do with her family life. And the two aspects appear to be unrelated, but in her case they are united.
But the people who must be misusing her and abusing her must be part of her family also.
They are in this current family.
Yes, so it is her family karma also.
Yes, to a degree. To a degree, yes. But I don't think her direct family lineage would reveal this. The current family is revealing this. Yes.
It may not be the lineage, but definitely, you know.
Yes, you're right. With the current family, it is. So, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, which is the stronger karma, the family one or the other?
I don't know. One moment.
Because if one is good and the other is not, then which one?
One second. Let me check this. I'm getting it could be either. There's no definitive rule on this. It's kind of like saying who influences you more, your father or your mother. For different people, it's different parents. And for some people, it's both. So it's really quite individual. There's no one answer for that. Sorry. Any other questions or... I know, it's interesting, and I was thinking I'd like to know what mine is, and I've not got my answer yet. But
I want to say something which may not be the right thing to say, but is sexual orientation also part of this? Because, you know, in our family, it's surprising that from my mother's side of family, there have been so many people having this different orientation. Apart from being gay, my both sons being gay,
right.
My cousins' children being gay, and both brother and sister. So, and they're close family, like they're Mastina Dikra and Mamina Dikra, you know, that kind of thing. So there are a lot of people who are gay, and I tried to talk to somebody who had come from Australia, who was in our group.
You know, I'll repeat this, don't worry.
So. And I said, have you done any hereditary tests? And he says, no, we've never looked at it from that point of view. It is all individual. So I was now thinking that you're talking about this. There must be some linkage, because there, how can there be so many people in our family who are gay?
It's a good question. Nargis's question is, how come, does this relate in any way to her family, where so many family members are gay? Including her two sons, her cousins, her nieces, a lot of gay people in her family. So could this be energetic lineage karma, family karma? You know, I don't have the answer to that. Let me link and see what I get. Because I don't have the answer. Yeah. I don't know offhand. You brought up a very good point to discuss just generally. There is a lot of gender fluidity happening right now, worldwide. We know about the whole me-them movement and pansexuality, etc., etc. And yes, the pendulum is swinging a little bit to the extreme where everyone's getting fanatical about it. But you know, when there's a shift happening, the pendulum always goes to the other end before it comes to the middle. So per se, what is happening is actually wonderful. Because it is a whole acknowledgement of the masculine and feminine that we all have. So I'm applauding the shift. I find this aspect of becoming fanatical and calling me them and don't call me he or she idiotic. But that's a personal opinion, and I think it's just swung to the other extreme. It will come back to the middle in a healthier way than it has been in the past. So, per se, this gender fluidity is a very good step forward. And it is acknowledging the male and female in all of us. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just being, you know, women had to yell and scream and burn the bra and take out marches in the 70s to get equality. Now they don't do that. No, that's finished. So, there's always a bit of an agitation before something shifts. Okay, now you can re-record. Thank you, Ruby.